Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, something's off with him.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure on that Nuggets team, you know.
Who is Derek White?
I don't know who that is.
Like, I knew his name.
Yeah, he's the guy that, you know.
Like, I knew his name, yeah. And I've seen him, and I know he's got, you know, I've seen that hairline on him and just said, okay, this guy's in the – that man had a coming out party last night.
Yes, he did. Well, you know, listen, like –
that's what the Spurs do, man. These dudes come out of nowhere and get you 36 points.
And the Nuggets are the perfect team to sort of do this against because they're so young and inexperienced.
So inexperienced on this, you know, this level of playoff.
They're talented as hell, but they're just so young and unproven. And the Spurs are not.
I like what the Nuggets coach said about Derek. He said he looked like he hadn't eaten in 2 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. He was hungry. And everybody's talking about, you know, Jamal Murray and what's he going to do after, you know, helping them win game two. And Derek just goes out there and outplays a star, you know, in Jamal. And, again, Chip, man, hunger. Sometimes it'll take a long way. And shout out to Pop, too, who could very easily be up 3-0 in this series. They had a double-digit lead on Denver in game two, bro. And blew it. That's part of the reason why Pop was so frustrated after the game. They could be up 3-0. They are outclassing and out-experiencing everything else, this Denver team.
They are. It's true. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Gary Parrish going to join us at 12:25. Back in a minute. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is a good one, Mills. I can see myself bobbing my head on the way to the Wing Guru. Headed over to see Billy Richmond. Y'all know Billy Richmond, the former Tigers basketball player, is now the Chicken King of Memphis, basically. And why wouldn't he be? He's pretty much put everybody else to rest, John Martin. You know why? It's not just the best chicken. It's this premium chicken we're talking about, folks. It's the best flavors, the best premium flavors. You ain't going to get it anywhere else, are you, John?
Nope. You cannot find those premium flavors
like
anywhere else on the planet. It's just true. Where else are you going to find Honey Suicide? Where else are you going to find the 901? Where else are you going to find the Garlic Sriracha? The list goes on, and the answer is you can only find it in one place, and that is the Wing Guru right here in Memphis.
Try you one of those gourmet burgers if you're feeling frisky. Billy's got a special ingredients that he won't tell us, but ooh, when you taste it, you're going to love it. It's all good over at the Wing Guru. When you see Billy Richmond again, 5699 Mount Moriah, you can do it if you're near the precinct, or you can do it on 7199 Stage Road if you were on the Raleigh-Bartlett side of town. So two great locations. All the food's great. When you see Billy Richmond, please tell him that Jason and John sent you.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it.
It's the Rundown, the biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM, ESPN. First story.
All right, so earlier today on Twitter, Jamel Hill used to be at ESPN. Now she's at The Atlantic. I guess she was just bored. I don't know. She just had nothing else to do, and she just asked people on Twitter, you know, what are the greatest what-ifs? Not in the history of sports, not in the history of movies, but in the history of sports movies, What are the biggest what-ifs? And for me...
what did she say first?
Well, she said, what if Apollo Creed never died? What if he'd lived?
That's actually a good one because you think about, you know, every time you
There would be no Creed film franchise. They would beat up Michael B. Jordan. He would have never been born.
I'm sorry?
I mean, he would have been born. But
clearly, he would have still been born, man.
But he wouldn't have been.
And
as,
he would have had his daddy.
But he wouldn't have been as motivated as he was. And maybe
yes.
Maybe
then
he
you
would
lose
have gone
that plot
on
line.
To be.
See, I don't know if hers
just
is that
an accountant.
No. I don't know how much it changes in the world because again, Apollo wasn't going back out there. Remember, that was this was supposed to be an exhibition, and he killed him. So you realize, John, Apollo wasn't going to go on at that point in his career and win the title again. You understand that. So I'm not sure, again, that this affects the world if Apollo doesn't die. And, of course, as you said, Michael B. Jordan not nearly as inspired to do what he accomplished as Creed's son. And so, again, I love Jamel's question. Not sure that's the best what if in sports movie history, John Martin.
Yeah, so that's one.
What if, more so to Rocky's here, what if Apollo had won? What if Rocco couldn't do it? What if he never beat Apollo? What if the Italian Stallion never took it from... I'm going back to the first and second movies, okay?
Yeah, you're going
then
way
you got,
back.
You got nothing. You got no series, you understand me? And then the series is Creed. It's a different series, John. So that needs to be ahead of that anyway. That needs to be ahead of what if Drago had not killed Apollo? What if Rock hadn't beat him?
Yeah, for me, you know, some of the greatest what-ifs for me...
Get yours out, you and Mills both, because what you will have does not touch mine. Go right ahead.
If it's related to Rocky, it's overdone.
It ain't Rock.
What if Michael Jordan's arm doesn't magically... What if it doesn't become an elastic, like Fantastic Four type of arm? And what if he can't get the ball into the rim? And what if he misses the dunk as time expires? Then he's banished. Jason, that he's banished to Moron Mountain forever, and he doesn't come back with the Wizards. That was an amazing time.
You picked a cartoon.
It's not a cartoon.
Yes, that part is.
Michael Jordan is not a cartoon.
That
Michael
part
Jordan
is a cartoon.
Real.
His arm is stretching. That's when they told him he had cartoon powers, and he started using them. That's one of the most cartoon parts of that movie.
Cartoon abilities.
Again. What are we doing here, John?
Well, he would have been on Moron Mountain. Did he win a championship after Space Jam, or was he done by then?
John, I'm looking at a list of some of the greatest sports movies. And do you know where it's 100 greatest sports movies. Do you know where they rank Space Jam, your example that you just brought in?
Let's hear it.
100.
Top 100?
Is that like the best? It. Like 100
no,
out like, of 100?
We
the
made
worst.
It.
It was the worst. It was exactly what you suspected first. It was the worst. They're counting down to one.
Yes.
And out of 100, it's the worst one.
Yeah, but it made the list.
And you're picking. Yes, I get that. I get that. I mean, 100 sports movies pretty much covers everything. Pretty much all in here, bro.
Does Like Mike make it? No, your favorite movie.
They didn't make enough movies. Bow Wow. Was that Bow Wow?
Yes.
You got one, Mills?
Well, the thing is just dismissing mine.
Well, you need to have some more. I'm going to give you time to find some others because that was a poor submission, bro. Space Jam, man.
What if Henry Rowengartner did not lose his magical strong arm in Rookie of the Year? He might have been the greatest dynasty pitcher of all time, pitching into his 60s.
Dude, that was deep.
Throw 115-mile-per-hour fastballs.
Mills challenges us.
Yep, he does.
You know?
I don't know what I do.
What if the Angels didn't come to the outfield?
Dang.
What if they didn't? Then it would not have been called Angels in the Outfield. It would have been called Angels Away from the Outfield.
Angels that didn't come.
Angels that never came to the outfield.
Those are great.
Those were fantastic, man.
But both of you guys are coming up. Shout.
Oh, let's hear it. Here he comes.
Ready?
This better be good.
This is basically sports movie equivalent to when they killed Ricky and Boys in the Hood. Like we've discussed this before, how you want Ricky to run a different way each time, no matter how many times you've seen it.
Yeah.
You don't want him to get shot, because what if? Well, what if Ricky had made it? He's going to USC, John, and then he's the next Marcus Allen.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
My equivalent to that sports movie would be the stool that didn't get moved quickly enough. And Million Dollar Baby. Frankie is trying to grab the stool that I believe his assistant has left in the ring.
Mm.
And unfortunately, he is unable to grab it in time before his boxer, who's played by who? What's that girl's name? Y'all know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can.
She's famous. She's huge.
She's in Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank is her name. Right. Thank you, John. Thank you. she falls and hits her, you know, it hits her neck or head on that stool, and she turns into a quadriplegic, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Paralyzes her for life.
Yeah.
And, dude, when you watch that movie,
it is
that
heartbreaking.
Sits with you.
It is heartbreaking.
That decision, that trying to get it, I don't know what it is about that movie, but it's you're thinking about that for the next hour or two, maybe into the next day. Like, dang, if they just got that, you know.
It just blindsides you. You don't see it coming.
You do not see it coming. And anyway, I don't have to do the what if on it because you saw what the result was when she hit. I mean, that one right there, just because that's a sports movie where much like with Boys in the Hood and Ricky, you want Ricky to live, and it doesn't matter how many times you see it, you still want him to live. No matter how many times you know the outcome. Mm-hmm. It's the same way in that movie with Million Dollar Baby that you don't want, you know, you want Frankie to get there, get his hand on it. That's Clint Eastwood's character. You want him to get him get that stool out further because I think it was Morgan Freeman left that stool there.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I think Morgan Freeman couldn't make that final fight, so they got someone to replace him.
Oh, and it's the other
it's
assistant.
It's the other assistant.
That's the part of it I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
He's not. That's right, because he's sick or something.
And so he regrets that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, dude, and that adds even more to the what if. Thank you, Mills. You're right. It wasn't Morgan. He should have been there. He could have been there. What if he had, John? Stu wouldn't have been there. You can't top it, can you?
What if Roy was never shot in The Natural?
Well, I got that submission from a guy, Irish.
Yeah.
I was going to bring it up after this. I didn't suspect because you've never seen The Natural.
I love
You've never seen Robert Redford in The Natural. Don't even play like it.
Dude, I have The Natural.
Who sent that to you?
On VHS. I have that movie, man. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, you can't. Sometimes I know my sophistication and my culture surprises you, but you're just going to have to deal with that. You're just going to have to deal with that. But like I said, mine is Space Jam. It shaped my life and continues to. And
I mean, what if Rudy had a little size?
Well, if Rudy had a little size, it's not an inspirational story, is it?
Nope.
It's just him going to the NFL. Football.
Give me a break.
It's just another
with as motivated
player.
As he was, could have been anything. Hoosiers, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
You know little Ollie? Hitting the underhanded shots. If he don't hit those granny free throws, John, they don't advance.
Mm-hmm.
There is no title. You understand? I've got a bunch of brother. I could do this all day. You can't touch me.
Yeah, you're the best, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the ones I have. If you have any, this is the time to get them out. If you have any others, if not, we can move on. Are you getting any submissions?
I've got a bunch of them, but when you lose, you like to end it. So let's just do it.
Next story.
Have you seen Jeremiah Martin? John, have you been watching him? We talked to him last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his second game over in the Portsmouth Invitational. Portsmouth. Let's make sure we get that pronounced correctly. The Portsmouth Invitational, which is for the top college seniors in the country, and you're doing it in front of a bunch of college, a bunch of NBA scouts. If I'm not mistaken, I saw that first night. He had 29 scouts there. Again, not all just there to see Jeremiah Martin. But again, these are college seniors that are trying to impress in terms of getting more workout invites for the NBA, guys that maybe not necessarily on the draft radar. Jeremiah, in his first game, we didn't talk about it. This was Thursday. They were off yesterday. He will play. Excuse me. This was, Thursday. They're off today. He's played one game. He'll play again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
15 points, 6 of 12 shooting. Here's what I liked because this is what he's got to show at 6'3", the 9 assists. Had 9 assists to go with 5 rebounds, just 2 turnovers, I think, in the most minutes on his plate, over 30 minutes in that game. 34 minutes was a team high, and they got the win over Portsmouth. Again, they'll be playing again tonight. But Jeremiah Martin, who we know at comes to Memphis as a defensive guy, offensive game expands, and he becomes one of the best scorers, quite frankly, that we've seen come through here. The only guy to have 2 40-point games in a career as a Tiger. Now you figure going to the NBA, okay, they know he can play defense when locked in. Has got some game to him when it comes to offensively.
Yes, he
does.
At
that size, though, what Jeremiah Martin's going to have to prove and what he's clearly looking to prove is that he can be a point guard and lead a team and be that assist guy as well. So a good first outing for him, obviously, to get 9 assists to go with that 15 points. He's playing with Tulsa's Daquan Jeffries, who you guys know is Memphis played against a couple years. I really like as a prospect. Daquan's going to be a professional, probably overseas. But anyway, playing with a guy he's very familiar with. And they'll probably win again tonight. I suspect that Jeremiah Martin will continue to impress at Portsmouth. And it's going to lead to a bunch more invites for him to workouts. Hopefully a summer league invite and a pick. I don't expect that Jeremiah Martin will get drafted, but you never know. Maybe it is at the end of the second round. Either way, he's going to get opportunities to impress more.
No question about it. Certainly rooting for him. He could be one of those guys where, like, if it can happen for Chris Chioza, for example, right? Chris Chioza gets signed for the rest of the year with Houston. If it can happen for a guy like Chris Chioza, worked hard, got there because of his work ethic, you know, guarded, it can happen for Jeremiah.
Jeremiah can guard better than Chris Chioza.
Yeah, he can't. He's just bigger. He's a bigger guy, mm-hmm. You know?
To this point, he's got to show more of the Chioza, I can run a team and just be that guy too. I mean, he and his agent are thinking about and talking about. Again, 9 assists was a game high for them.
Yeah, so be interested to see exactly sort of what happens from here for Jeremiah Martin.
Yeah, it's tonight.
Next story.
A judge in a federal court ruled today that Sean Miller and Will Wade, who, of course, coach Arizona and LSU respectively, will not have to testify in next week's federal trial into college basketball corruption. They were subpoenaed. There was an idea that at one time they were going to have to testify. We talked about that, you know, about a month ago. But federal prosecutors, according to reports, filed a motion earlier this month to preclude them from testifying on the grounds that it was irrelevant. So I know this sounds like a bunch of legalese, but Jason, this has to feel like a win for them, right? They are not having to take the stand in this trial. And so therefore, that's it. It's over for them. I mean, is it not? I mean, they're going to, like, Sean Miller is going to be coaching at Arizona, and barring something unforeseen, LSU is going to retain Will Wade. That's how I read this story. I mean, that's what, you know.
Just because they're not having to testify, yes, you'd count that as a win if you're Sean Miller or Wade. But I don't know. Gary retweeted a quote that I saw earlier when we were doing the show. Kind of glanced at it as we were still talking about something else that said that one of the defense attorneys. Yeah, I'm looking at Gary's tweet. That's a hell of a quote. Listen to this. Defense attorney Steve Haney said in this morning's hearing, this is the quote: "The evidence establishes very clearly that Sean Miller is paying players at Arizona. You'll have to hear the evidence." So I'm saying, while they may not be up there testifying and obviously getting them, you know, I guess getting yourself into trouble with the possibility that you could, there could be stuff out that comes out, John. I'm sure those coaches still think so. Mm-hmm. That comes out that proves, you know, that's just further damage to them. So we don't have any idea what's coming out of this thing or what these defense attorneys or anybody else intend to introduce to this trial. So I don't. Yes, win for, you know, in sort of the immediate of it. Yeah, you got to feel good. You're not going to be subpoenaed up to New York and have to testify. But still, you got to be on pins and needles about what else they've got, what else the feds have got, what else is going to come out.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, and we'll ask Gary about this when
yeah,
when
that's
we talk
that's
to
what
next.
I got down. What in the world going to happen with it?
You know, but that's my read on it. Anyway, that's the latest on the college basketball trial corruption. All right.
The guy they had, I got one. Chris Jennings brings. What if to go back to our Pedro Serrano, if he could hit the curveball?
Mm-hmm.
MVP of the league.
What if people tweeted
MVP of the league? The bat couldn't hit. The bat didn't like the curveball.
People tweeted this one to me. What if, you know, remember the Titans football team couldn't get over their differences?
My God, racism might not have been solved in this country. Are you kidding me?
What, dude? That's
what happened? That they don't win a couple more games,
bro. That was a big thing. The fact that they were able to get over their differences.
What if Booby Miles hadn't gotten injured in Friday Night Lights?
You seen Friday Night Lights?
A little bit of it.
You hadn't seen the whole thing?
Couldn't get through.
It's not a great movie. Let's be honest about it. It's not a great movie. That might trigger people in this region, but Friday Night Lights is not that great of a movie. I think it's a better show than it is a movie, for sure. Have you seen the show?
No.
The show is critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is not. So sometimes that can happen. You know, sometimes that can happen. Anyway.
I get it.
We'll come back. Gary Parrish is going to join us on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
2908 apartment 4, I remember. We were trapping in and out the door, I remember. Miss Shirley house breaking.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Gary Parrish is the host of the Gary Parrish Show. You can hear him every afternoon from 4 to 6 and read him over at CBSSports.com. He joins us now. GP, what up?
What's up with it? You all right?
Yep, everything is good. So what are we to make of the latest news today that Sean Miller and Will Wade will not have to testify in the college basketball corruption trial? Does this mean that it's over and that they're just going to go back to work and that things are fine? Like, what should we take out of this?
Well, it certainly doesn't mean it's over, because both of those guys are going to be at the mercy of an NCAA investigation. That seems undeniable at this point. But it does mean that they're not going to have to put their hand on a Bible next week and testify under oath. And that's a massive win for both of them, because you can lie to your bosses. You can lie to the NCAA. But if you lie in federal court, you are at risk of a perjury charge. And that means you're at risk of serving time in a federal prison. And so the stakes for lying are a lot different there. In other words, let me put it this way. So Will Wade, a couple of Fridays ago, met with LSU officials and NCAA officials. And he told them that he has done nothing wrong, that he has not violated any NCAA rules. Now, if you believe that he has, and most people do because he's talking about it on a wiretap, well, then you can – he's lying. I don't think any reasonable person doesn't think Will Wade, when he says they have done no wrongdoing, I don't think any reasonable, sensible person believes that. Will Wade lied when he said that. But – can you prove he lied? And here's the alternative for Will Wade. Same thing with Sean Miller. Telling the truth, if the truth is that you committed NCAA rules violations at the level one level, like buying players or providing impermissible benefits, if you tell the truth, you're going to get fired. This is not like what Bruce Pearl lied over. Bruce Pearl lied about a secondary violation. If he would have told the truth, even his version of the truth, he would not have been fired, because it's not a fireable offense. But paying players is a fireable offense. Nobody will survive that. So if you're asked by your bosses, did you pay this player, did you pay his handler, the best thing to do, even if you did it, is to just say, of course not. Because if you tell the truth, you will get fired. So you might as well take a shot at lying and hope that they can't prove it. But if you're in federal court and you lie, I guess this is what I'm saying. If you lie to your bosses, you got two options. You've cheated, you've been caught. You're sitting down with your bosses and with the NCAA. You got two options: tell the truth or lie. If you tell the truth, what happens? You get fired. So you might as well lie, because if you lie, you might get away with it. And if you get caught lying, well, then what happens? Same thing if you tell the truth, you get fired.
Right.
Federal court's a different animal altogether. If you lie there, it's not the same as telling the truth, because if you get caught lying there, you're going to be hit with a felony charge and you're going to be at risk of actually going to jail, of losing your freedom. And so taking that off the table for Will Wade and Sean Miller, making it where they don't have to answer very difficult questions under oath, is a massive win for them. It does not mean that they're going to avoid NCAA sanctions. It does not mean that they won't ultimately be fired for what the NCAA uncovers. Mm-hmm. But it does mean they're not at risk of having to get under oath and answer questions for which I'm assuming there are no great answers.
So explain this to Gary to me, because you can break this down for me. If you're the new athletic director at LSU and you know at some point there'll be an ensuing NCAA investigation that could get sticky and you could lose your coach that way, do you stick with him? Do you just move on? I mean, it seems like it adds a different layer to it now when we're talking about a new athletic director. I mean, what do you think the chances are that Will Wade's the coach next season with all this going on?
I think LSU would like to move on from Will Wade, but they would like to do it for cause. They would like to be able to fire him for cause so that they don't have to pay.
Right.
He has no buyout in his contract. The contract is guaranteed both directions.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think right now LSU owes him about $10 million. And if he wanted to leave, his buyout to leave, like let's say UCLA wanted Will Wade under some different circumstances and he wanted to take that job, somebody would owe LSU $10 million. It also works the opposite way. If you do not want Will Wade to be your coach, you've got to pay him $10 million unless you can fire him for cause.
For cause.
And so what I think LSU wanted is to be able to turn up some evidence and then fire him for cause. But there is no evidence right now.
Yep.
I mean, there is circumstantial evidence, and it is what it is, but there is no proof to this point that a transaction was actually made. And that is the way LSU worded that statement last week. They said we have to ask him the question. He answered it. He denied any wrongdoing. And there is no evidence at this point to contradict that. And short of evidence, he is within the terms of his contract. So he will continue as our head coach. There may be a day where there is some evidence where they can fire him for cause. And if there ever is, they'll do it quickly.
Yep.
But right now, the cost of doing it is $10 million, and they just don't want to pay the $10 million, so they're gonna let him stick around for now.
Got it.
Yeah, that makes sense. St. John's hired Mike Anderson for some reason. Why?
I think because they were out of options and they panicked, and they decided to go get somebody who has a good resume, because Mike does have a good resume. I mean, a relatively good resume. I saw this. Somebody tweeted last night. There's only like four coaches in the country who have never had a losing season as a head coach if they coached X amount of years. And it's like Mark Few and, you know, somebody else, maybe Roy Williams. But Mike Anderson's on that list. So if framed properly, you can make a pretty good argument for, man, Mike Anderson is a high-level coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think he's better, certainly more accomplished than some of the other people that they were pursuing and got turned down by. So it's not, and of course he's got no ties to New York City whatsoever, or even the area.
Right.
So it's a questionable fit, but I've never been much I've never cared much about fit as much as I've cared about capability. Like, can you do the job? And I think there's a scenario under which he can maybe do the job. But the truth is, the search was all over the place, and that's how they got to Mike Anderson. You know, when you get turned down as a Big East program by the Iona coach and the Loyola Chicago coach and the UMBC coach, like, you're doing something wrong. They're scared of you, not of the job. They're bothered by you. They don't have confidence in you. And that's ultimately what happened with the St. John's search. And so they swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, and then finally, you know, end up hiring a coach who needed a job because he just got fired at Arkansas. So I'm not as down on the end result as some people, but the process was clearly flawed, because you should be able at St. John's, when you're offering the type of money and the type of years they were offering, you should be able to hire the Iona coach, the UMBC coach, the Loyola Chicago coach. And the fact that they couldn't says a lot about the people who were conducting the search. Either way, this is not what I would have done even as of yesterday. The smart thing to do, while to circle back to what we were talking about earlier, while Will Wade's still the coach at LSU and Sean Miller's still the coach at Arizona, there's no reason Rick Pitino should be banned from college basketball. There is more evidence that Will Wade and Sean Miller have been cheating than there ever has been evidence that Rick Pitino cheated. That's a fact. There's still not a single thing, not a text message, email, wiretapped phone call, or even former assistant. Nobody has ever said Rick Pitino had a hand in what happened at Louisville. Not a single person. Mm. People said, well, I think he probably did, but nobody's been able to say it. And there's no physical evidence of anything. If I were St. John, simply put, I would have hired Rick Pitino. And yeah, somebody would have questioned you, but then the next day everybody would have moved on and you would have had a Hall of Fame coach, a big star in New York City, somebody who would have undeniably got your program back to national relevance very, very quickly.
Gary, for the AAC, chances that John Brannon gets Cincinnati, the new coach there, to the same level as Mick Cronin, where I talked about this with Goodman yesterday, much more curious in your answer, where it's, you could sort of pencil them in, top 25 each year or just outside, and kind of figuring that they'd work their way in. Is he the right hire? Is it good for the AAC with John Brannon, the former Northern Kentucky coach?
Yeah, that's about as good as they were going to do.
Okay.
You know, so they identified John Brannan and they hired the Northern Kentucky coach, and I think he'll be fine there.
Okay.
And, you know, they flirted with Frank Martin for a little bit, and then that got blown up by somebody. But, you know, settling on John Brannan is not, you know, it's certainly not terrible, and the search was not nearly as poorly run as the St. John's Church or the search or the UCLA search.
No doubt.
John's good. Now, Mick, you know, went the 9 straight into the tournament.
I know. It was good. Yes. Yeah.
That's a high bar to set for anybody.
No doubt.
Like, how about this? I'll say this. Every coach hired this offseason, I would bet against any of them blindly going to the next nine NCAA tournaments or ever going to 9 straight NCAA tournaments.
Sure.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Yep.
So it's possible John might get into more, might get into NCAA tournaments and advance deeper into the bracket because that was the knock on Mick,
right,
that he almost never got out of the first weekend. But will he be as consistently good as Mick Cronin? I would say no, and that's not even because I don't believe in John Brannan. It's just because, man, to be that consistently good.
You're right. Yeah.
Outside of that traditional power structure, it's a difficult thing to do.
You have asked me the last couple of weeks on your show what I've thought about the Grizzlies front office. Now I'm going to ask you on my show what you think of the Grizzlies front office. What do you think of the Grizzlies front office, Gary?
I guess I would say about this something similar to what I would say when you asked me what do I think about Mike Anderson at St. John's. I'd say it's not what I would have done, but I could see it working. And you know, I would not have, you know, I made a 30-year-old with a very brief basketball background the main decision maker in my day-to-day basketball activities. And perhaps the reason I wouldn't have done that is because I haven't been around Zach Klavan. Maybe if I'd spent the past year around him every day, I would believe that he's the sharpest guy in the world and ready for this challenge. But having that, you know, lacking that interaction, I would have just on a very surface level, it's an unusual, risky move. But it doesn't mean it can't work. And I think what they did 2 nights ago by adding Glenn Grumwald and Rich Cho to the front office is certainly a I don't want to say necessary step, but I think positive step in the right direction because, you know, even if a 30-year-old with a brief basketball background is absolutely going to be a star in this league, he probably, at the beginning at least, needs to be surrounded by people who have done the things that he is going to be asked to do on a day-to-day basis. Because I don't care who you are or how talented you are, when you get a new job that you've never done, you do not know what you're getting into until you're into it. You know, and you're not nearly – you're just going to be faced with things every day that you've never been faced with before, and having people around you to help, if nothing else, just advise you, I think is advantageous. Like, even if you are good at radio, the first time you did a radio show, you didn't know what you were doing. Mm. You know, trust me. And even if you're going to go on to be a great columnist, the first time you wrote a column, you didn't really know what you were doing. And I think most jobs are that way. Like, you might be the right person for the job, but you're going to encounter some things in the front of your career that are just going to where it would be helpful if you had somebody who's already done it before around you. And so Zach now technically has 3 former general managers working underneath him: Chris Wallace, Rich Cho, and Glenn Grumwald. That's 3 men who have run 2 different franchises each, or at least been general managers of 2 different franchises each. So there's only 30 franchises in the NBA, and Zach Klavan now has 3 people who have run 6 of them at different times in the past 20 years. And I think that can be helpful. I like that move. And to be clear, I think they're in a better position from a front office perspective right now than they were 3 weeks ago, even if, you know, on a surface level, having the president of your organization being somebody without a traditional basketball background and having the day-to-day basketball guy, the de facto general manager, also be somebody who has, doesn't have a traditional basketball background, that's not normal. I can tell you this. I'm optimistic, but when you talk to people around the league from outside of the market, you know, they're not just saying there's no way it works, But what they will say, because it's true, is this is not a normal way not even that it's not ideal, just that it's not normal. This is not how most NBA franchises are run.
If you were Gary, let a scenario here: Grizzlies get the 4 pick. So outside what we all think will be, you know, Zion, Ja, and RJ Barrett, they move up to 4, and it's sort of that everybody after is the right guy for them. If let's stick it that you're still in that front office, or at least thinking about what they'll do, is the right guy for you Darius Garland, the point guard out of Vanderbilt?
I would take Darius Garland or DeAndre Hunter.
Okay.
At 4, if Zion, RJ, and Ja Morant are off the board, and I'm picking 4th. I'm picking between DeAndre Hunter and Darius Garland. And I really don't think I'm considering anybody else. I know some folks would have Jarrett Culver up there, but I've always thought DeAndre Hunter was the better prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played each other in the national championship game, and Hunter got the best of him on both ends of the court. It doesn't mean that DeAndre Hunter is definitely going to be better than Jarrett Culver, but it does mean there's no way I would pick Jarrett Culver over DeAndre Hunter right now. And so I could make a case for either Garland or Hunter, but that is absolute. Those, at least at this moment, I don't want to box myself into where I can't change my mind a month from now. But at this moment, if I'm picking 4th and those 3 are off the board, I am choosing between Darius Garland and DeAndre Hunter.
Real quick before we let you go, Gary, we were talking about earlier because we just saw a tweet and whatever. It's Good Friday. We're going to do whatever the hell we want. What's your greatest what if in sports movie history?
What if in sports movie history? I heard you guys talking about this briefly, but I didn't put my own thought into it.
Well, put some thought into it.
That's a tough one to just have him on the spot like that.
And he, yeah, but Gary's
he usually digs.
Gary's
he's going to have the
sport,
best answer. And you're not giving him time to get
it. He's a big sports movie buff. He's got this.
What my favorite what if? So it probably has to come from the Rocky series because it's my favorite sports movie series. So let's go. What if Apollo? What if Rocky could actually talk Apollo out of fighting the Russian, Ivan Drago? Because Rocky didn't want him to do it. Rocky told him he had nothing to prove.
Yep.
But Apollo felt like he did, and he wanted to do it. But if Rock talks him out of that, then Apollo lives. Rocky probably also does not come out of retirement to fight Drago, and then we're done. we never get another Rocky film, right?
That's it. It's over forever. Creed. We don't get the Creed franchise.
Yeah, because Adonis Creed is not motivated by trying to avenge his father's death because his father didn't die.
What about if Paulie doesn't gamble away all the damn money and they don't have to go back to the hood and the kid gets raised like he's supposed, like what he's used to, you know? That hurt me.
There's that side too. So there's a whole bunch of you can do this in real life as well. But certainly, if I'm reduced to the Rocky movies, what happens if Rocky never accepts Apollo's rematch? You know. Apollo is mad in Rocky II because Rocky's getting all the attention, and people are saying that Rocky won the fight, even though Rocky didn't win the fight. And so what if then Apollo's just like, you know what, I don't care, I'm moving on. And then Rocky never fights at that level again, probably, and he's just working in the, you know, he's just he's collecting cash. You know, the rest, he's collecting money from gambling debts for the rest of his life.
He's a nobody.
As opposed to, he's a nobody. And instead, he gets to fight Apollo again. He wins the fight. Then he becomes a big star. And then, of course, he runs into Clubber Lang. That was a disaster. Mick dies. It's possible, by the way, Mick never dies because Rocky's never in a fight with Clubber Lang.
Ah.
And Clubber Lang never pushes Mickey and sends him into whatever he sent him into. Yeah. A whole lot of stuff could have went differently there.
That's true. Gary, I always appreciate
Thank
your time,
you for this.
Man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep, he is Gary Parrish. Joins us every single Friday here on the show.
He's right about Mick and that weak heart and Clubber going off, you know, is what shook Mick to the end there.
Yep.
Sent him into the heart attack.
Nope, it's true.
Mick might have lived.
We'll come back. Trey Draper going to be in studio at 1:25. Back in a minute, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Henderson has been invited to the NFL draft. That's very cool, but for the second day, not for the first day, but for the second day. So that is a very good development for him. He gets to be there and, you know, take it all in. So congratulations to Memphis running back Darrell Henderson for that. Most people believe he'll be a day two draft pick, though he has met, you know, he's met with several teams who, you know, who need running backs for sure. I just don't think at this point many running backs are going to be taken in the first round.
Dude, day two for him is outstanding.
It is. It's great. It's a great great accomplishment for sure.
No, it just feels like the NFL's going his way, too. We've talked about it a little bit before. We've got one in the backfield in Cohen. And it just feels like, you know, having that home run hitter, that guy in your backfield, everybody sort of watching what KC's done.
Yeah.
We're certainly, you know, that's with Nagy, that's all we are. We're KC. We're their offense. That's where he learned is under Andy Reid. And so it just feels like everybody's going to have one here sooner or later. And man, Darrell's coming out at a good time is the way I'll put it.
Yeah, he's visited with the Rams, the Eagles, the Raiders, and the Arizona Cardinals. Those teams all have picks in the late 20s and the early 30s, you know, so maybe that's where he ends up. That would be fantastic for that program for sure. I mean, to think that he could go before Anthony Miller went. What was Anthony Miller? Was he in the 40s?
Our first pick of the second round. I want to tell you, we moved up into the, the late 30s or early. It's one or the other.
He was the 51st pick.
Way off then.
Yeah, so
we moved up in the second round to get him.
To think that he's going to go.
That's why we don't have a second round pick this year, because of Anthony Miller, and I'm very happy that we did it. It's going to be tough for me. I don't have a first because of you. I don't have a second because of moving up to get Miller. We'll be all right. Bears got a good team already. We're fine. I'm more interested for the draft and what you, with all your picks and what Bennett's Titans are going to do.
Well, you know, for us, we've got needs all over the board. I mean, less so offensively now because we've kind of addressed that in free agency. But, you know, you could go Quinnen Williams at number four or Josh Allen, who's ever available there.
I see everybody's talking about Quinnen's. It's the front page of SportsCenter, the front page of ESPN about how next generation he could be.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be a beast for you. Again, you trying to – y'all trying to find the next Khalil Mack. You're trying to – you know what I mean?
No.
But we're past that. You make the most of it. And I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and hate on your squad. You got a ton of picks. Y'all can make a hell of a lot of difference to your football team.
We can.
There's no
we can go from
no
we can go from irrelevant to relevant in a year.
You can. You know? I don't know about all that.
Yes.
But it can be a quick rise. You do this right.
The Titans are picking 19th. Todd McShay has them taking DeAndre Baker from Georgia. He's a cornerback. And they need it.
You talk about them, what Antonio Brown's going to do to them this year.
Five teams had fewer than the Titans' 17 turnovers last season. They are awful.
Secondary.
Yes. I mean, they got carved up by anybody and everybody, you know? I think they definitely, it would make sense for the Titans for sure. Cause they do play the Raiders this year, in Oakland. They're going to need some help for sure. And then we pick again, of course, with your pick at 24, Mel Kiper has us selecting Irv Smith Jr., the tight end from Alabama.
Yeah.
We need pass catchers. I mean, we need a tight end. We need a pass catcher.
And the one you got's on his last legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm fine with that. Jerry Cook's now a New Orleans Saint. I understand that.
He's gone. Okay.
And then at 27, this is, of course, the Amari Cooper pick from Dallas. It has us picking McShay has us picking defensive end Farrell from Clemson. So there you go. An edge rusher.
Like you said, you have a lot of needs.
He's ferocious.
Yeah, I know it's ferocious, and that does make you better. It doesn't help you with the quick turnaround like we had.
Let me see. They have Henderson on here. They do not. They do not have Henderson going in the first two rounds. But it sounds like he will, though. It sounds
When you get that invite, that's your shot. They feel good about it.
Yeah.
So I feel good about it for him.
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be fun.
Bennett's still going?
I think he said he is. Yeah. Also, Tony Pollard is another one too. You got to watch. You know, you have to watch. If he goes anywhere. This is the first three rounds. They do not have Daryl Henderson going in the first three rounds. So that would be disappointing.
Yeah, but with this news, I think this leaves you with a little bit more optimism that he will get.
Do you think Tony Pollard gets drafted? There's a time where I thought he was for sure getting drafted.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I know he gets a chance, and he'll get a free agent deal at least. So either way, he'll get a shot. But where he's going to be picked, I don't know that there'll be much difference. Maybe at that point you want to be and sort of pick your spot. You know, that could be advantageous in some instances.
Right, for sure. But that's the latest. Daryl Henderson getting a day two invite to the NFL draft there in Nashville.
We should maybe we shouldn't watch. You know, maybe we should hope for bad weather up there so they don't get it again. You know, because when I think about Clay.
The draft?
Yeah, when I think about Clay and how, you know, he's all, we got the draft and y'all don't. Maybe we don't want it to go well. Maybe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You want it to go disastrously?
Maybe we did. Do we?
He thinks they're getting.
Don't get a Super Bowl like that fool was talking about.
He thinks they're getting a Super Bowl. Like, let's slow down a little bit. You know, I mean, come on, Nashville getting a Super Bowl. You just got the draft. Let's start there. Be happy that you got that. I mean, maybe in time. They are growing.
Dude, that city is growing.
It's exploding.
Yeah, probably they need more roads because that traffic ain't. It's going to continue to be a problem.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, Daryl Henderson will be there this week.
Good luck with your draft, Nashville.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Trey Draper's going to be in studio at 125. He won a national championship as an assistant with IMG. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about Lester Quinones and more at 125. Jason and John, out of Eternity FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.